Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Primetime Emmy Awards 75, the ceremony delayed from last fall by actors and writers' strikes, lands at last tonight on Fox. Preview and pick the key category winners with the Performing Insider's Mark Berman when he joins me next. Also on deck, like Golden Globes, like Critics' Choice TV honorees, a proud wildcard peacock, and our classic trivia answer, first one of 2024. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live on New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and Tuner Radio, and present on 45 great podcast destinations. This just in, it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2024, and tomorrow will be televised. Our program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption today by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. 30 degrees, the top of the hour, and we welcome you on this MLK Junior Day to the program about TV's current and future. It's murky outside here in New York, and it looks like tomorrow we may break that streak of 71 days without an inch of snow. Happy to have you with us for this special edition of the program about TV's current and future. Great guests in hand. We're talking about the Primetime Emmys coming tonight to your local Fox station, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live to all time zones, and much more as well. And we invite you to be part of the program, including giving us your predictions about who will win the Emmy statues tonight. All you got to do is give us a call, and you do that by using this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. You can also get involved with your predictions and more by using our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone, more the room. Either way, you are interacting with us and with the Performing Insider's Mark Berman, who will join me here in New York after these news notes. For the second straight Sunday, three television series won a Best in Category prize. Golden Globe winners Succession, The Bear, and Beef captured Critics' Choice Awards last night as Best Comedy Series, Drama Series, and Miniseries, respectively. The Bear and Beef tied for most TV Critics' Choice honors with 4 each. Netflix was king among the performing services with 8 awards, double the count of HBO and FX. Hulu picked up 2 awards with 1 for TV, Apple TV Plus, and Showtime. The first postseason exclusive presentation of a National Football League game on a mega content service pulled an audience touchdown. Peacock's carriage of the Kansas City-Miami wildcard game had 27.6 million people watching Saturday night, according to Nielsen. That's a 6% rise from the wildcard Saturday evening game on NBC and Peacock in 2023. NBC Universal executives called the result a proud historic moment, although there's been some feedback from some viewers who felt the game was not well televised. Now quickies, 64 Tegna-owned television stations are back on DirecTV this afternoon after both parties reached a new multi-year carriage contract. The stations had been blacked out on DirecTV and Universe cable systems since November 30th. The Gentlemen, Guy Ritchie's series adaptation of his crime movie hit, will debut on Netflix this March. Ritchie co-wrote the series and directed the opening 2 episodes. More Netflix news, Javier Bardem and Chloe Sevigny will join the cast of Ryan Murphy's next Monsters installment, focusing on the Melendez brothers. And Prime Video will unfold Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, February 19th. Yes, it is a documentary film on NBA superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo, a.k.a. the Greek Freak. And that is news notes for today. And now it's a wonderful pleasure to bring back on this program the editor-in-chief of the popular website and email newsletter, The Performing Insider, Mark Berman. Mark, Happy New Year. It's great to have you on the program.
Happy New Year. Nice to be here.
So what are you looking forward to with tonight's Primetime Emmys?
Well, you know, traditionally the Primetime Emmys signaled the next day is the start of the TV season. That's not happening. However, it does signal that it's going to be starting soon. So to me, it signals that we're going to start seeing some original programming again, and that's what I'm looking forward to, and I always enjoy the Emmys. I like to see the people there, what they're wearing, who's going to win, you know, so I always enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Maury McIntyre, the president of the TV Academy, was on our program last Friday, and Mark, it was a wonderful interview, a very rare coup for us to have that, because the TV Academy rarely gives interviews before their ceremonies. And Maury made it very clear that they're really going to try to make this particular Emmys, the 75th, that, as we mentioned at the top, was postponed by the writer's strike and the actor's strikes. They really want to make this engaging for the viewers at home. We've had this criticism we've mentioned about award shows for not really focusing on the people at home, for having them hear jokes that fly by their heads, too much inside baseball, too much political posturing, too much of celebrities acting stupid. And it really felt from listening to Maury that they don't want to do that. They want this to be a very engaging show. They want Anthony Aniston, the host, to really be fantastic. They're doing a musical number with him off the top. You really got a sense from Maury that they really, really want to stem this whole issue of lower ratings for award shows and really make this fun for the viewer to watch and not just for the people in the theater.
Well, I hope they succeed. You know, I really hope they succeed because recently, you know, last night I watched the Critics' Choice Awards, and I recently watched the Golden Globe Awards, and I feel like in particular the Golden Globe Awards did not do any of that, you know. The problem with the Golden Globe Awards, in my opinion, was every time a couple came up to give out an award, we had to sit through like 5 minutes, 6 minutes, whatever it was, of comedic shtick that more often than not didn't work. So I hope it's going to be to the point we see, you know, I just hope it's quick, and whoever is out there, we see who's going to win instead of having to sit through a lot of monotony. I hope that doesn't happen.
Same thing, Mark. The Golden Globes to me also the same thing. It was not just George Clooney's terrible monologue, which flew over the heads of everybody. I mean, who wants to hear about somebody's private parts, or who wants to hear about Ozempic? But, for example, the Kevin Costner America Ferrari sequence was stiff. Both were very uncomfortable. The way that it was staged was not comfortable. And the Critics' Choice Awards last night, we were talking about beforehand, I thought a real low blow was given to Ariana DeBose. Wonderful super talent. She is a triple threat singer, actress, dancer. And for Bella Ramsey, who was up for an Emmy tonight for The Last of Us, and Anthony Ramos, to introduce the best song by saying in part, and by the way, this is not an off-the-cuff remark. This was on the teleprompter. So somebody wrote this, and some producer approved it, where Bella Ramsey says, and I quote, "Then there are the actors," this is for the Best Song nominee, by the way, and DeBose sang This Wish from Wish, which was one of the songs that was up. And here's what Bella Ramsey said, I quote, "Then there are the actors who also think that they are singers." And she mentioned Ariana DeBose's name along with Jack Black and Ryan Gosling. Ironically, Gosling's song from Barbie did win Best Song. Camera cuts to Ariana, who is peeved. I mean, absolutely peeved. Later on, she had an Instagram post which said, "No, I didn't find it funny. LOL, lots of love." To me, Mark, I thought it was a low blow. It was not deserved. It was very clear the people putting the show did not know about Ariana DeBose's career, which includes hosting the Tony Awards for the last 2 years, and beautifully, the Schmigadoon numbers, which were marvelous, the Oscar win for West Side Story, a wonderful performance. As I said, she is a triple threat, and for her to get that kind of treatment for the Critics' Choice is awful. And she should get an apology from the Critics' Choice Association, both Bella Ramsey and Anthony Mose, and the writer and the producer.
I think it was inappropriate. I agree with that. I do think it's inappropriate. You know, the thing about it is with these award shows, you have to, they can't lose focus on what this show, what these shows are. And it's not a show where, you know, people are going to throw out comedic jabs against somebody else. It's, we're there to honor the best in film, on television, whatever it is. That's what we're there for. So we're really not there for a roast or anything else. And I think they have to lose sight of that. I think when you, these award shows have to be more focused and about who's winning and about, you know, we're here to celebrate. It's a celebration of the best of the best. So let's do it that way instead of, you know, throwing out these insults or whatever it is. Just focus on the best. Do it that way. Give out the awards. Make it fast. Make it breezy. Make it entertaining. And you've got a show. But nobody ever seems to do that.
The Emmy Awards tonight, Mark, have the opportunity because it is the 75th. And early on, right last week, they gave a special list of like the 75 great moments in television history. Everything from 9/11 to the landing on the moon, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, I think that was a signal by the Emmy people, the TV Academy, that yes, we are going to really celebrate television. And we're going to make sure that the viewers at home really get that. And they get to celebrate. Because, you know, without them, there's no television. I mean, these are the people that watch the shows and watch the events.
Well, I hope they do it then. I really do hope they do it. You know, here's the problem with the Emmy Awards. And this has been a problem for the last several years. You know what? You know, with the rise of streaming, Simon, I think what's ultimately happened is you have so many shows out there and so many of them on different platforms, and you're not getting the same size audience. So I think a lot of people don't know a lot of these shows. It's not like the old days where you had the broadcast networks and everyone knew what these shows were. And I think a lot of it's foreign, which is why I think a lot of people don't watch it anymore, you know? And I think everybody's hemming and hawing about the Golden Globe Awards that the ratings were up by 50, you know, the viewership was up by 50%, and it was. But you can't lose sight of the fact that 9.4 million viewers still pales to the 18 point whatever in 2020. So these shows are still way down. And I think, again, what they have to do is, you know, make it exciting. Show us clips, you know, just entertain us. Stop with all this excess baggage that we don't need. And hopefully they'll do it tonight. I like who's hosting. I think that's a good pick. Hopefully we'll see, you know. We'll see, hopefully. And I'm absolutely going to watch. I always do. And I actually, my favorite show is up for a lot of awards, so I'm excited to see that show, which I predict is going to win.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I will be in the virtual press room that Fox is providing to join the folks in Los Angeles, and hopefully we'll have a chance to interview some of the winners. We did so 2 years ago with Cheryl Lee Ralph from Abbott Elementary, who is up again tonight. For Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. In a moment, we're going to Mark and I are going to start predicting the key categories of the Primetime Emmy Awards. Again, the show is on tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on your local Fox station, live to all time zones. Mark Berman is the editor-in-chief of the popular daily email newsletter and website, The Performing Insider, and he joins me live here in New York this hour, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tonight I'm with you live from New York. Thank you again for joining us on Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2024. Let's hear from you. Let's get your predictions. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes this week. We're back on Wednesday at this hour, and joining us live from London will be Rob Lewis. He's the chief executive of the new interactive music service that's trying to become, here in the United States, very soon, MTV to the interactive power. It's called Roxy. It'll be running both on smart TV sets and devices, and multi-channel bundles, and it'll also be running on the multicast signals of maybe your local broadcast station. Rob will join us from London to talk all about it. By the way, there's some heavy hitters behind it, including Simon Cowell from America's Got Talent, American Idol, and the popular star Sheryl Crow. That's Rob Lewis from Roxy, live from London. That's ROXI. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. All right, let's get our prediction caps on, and let's start with we're going to do three in comedy, three in drama, and then three in miniseries. So here's our first category. Da-da-da. The lead actor in a comedy series. The nominees are Bill Hader for Barry on HBO, Jason Segel for Shrinking on Apple TV+, Martin Short for Only Murders in the Building on Hulu, Jason Zekas from Ted Lasso, Apple TV+, and Jeremy Allen White, the Bear, who won the Critics' Choice Award last night and the Golden Globe Award last Sunday. So, Mark, start with you.
I think this is an absolute shoo-in. I think this is the easiest category to predict. Jeremy Allen White from The Bear, that's my prediction. First off, the show is outstanding. It's unlike anything I've ever seen on television. And, you know, the thing about that show, when I first watched it, I thought, wait a minute, am I watching Shameless set in a restaurant? I mean, it's in the south side of Chicago. It's Jeremy Allen White. I feel like he's playing the same character, but he really isn't. And, I mean, his performance is so multi-level, so fascinating. Yes, Jeremy Allen White. And who do you predict?
Well, I'm going to go with Jeremy Allen White as well, with a caveat. And the caveat is when the Academy people voted. Remember that this is for the 2022-23 season, and I would think that Jeremy's biggest competitor is Jason Sudeikis from Ted Lasso. Given the fact that it's the last season of Ted Lasso, there might be more people voting for him. And there also might be some people voting for Bill Hader for Barry, because that's also his last season. And a lot of people think that Hader's performance for all four seasons grew and grew and grew and got more comprehensive, more complex as time went on. However, Mark, I'm going to agree with you. I think Jeremy is on a roll. Obviously, Golden Globe, Critics' Choice. And I think this may be a trifecta. So that's my prediction, too. Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Okay, next one. And this, for me, I think is one of the most, the toughest category to predict. Lead actress in a comedy series. The nominees are Christina Applegate for Dead to Me on, I believe it's on Showtime. I don't know. It was on Showtime or Apple TV Plus? I'm not sure, Mark.
Netflix.
It was Netflix. Okay. So Christian Applegate for Dead to Me on Netflix. Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Hulu. Keita Brunson for Abbott Elementary on ABC. Natasha Yeon for Poker Face on Peacock. And Jenna Ortega for Wednesday on Netflix. Mark, who do you pick?
Well, first off, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, by the way, is Amazon Prime, not Hulu. But
sorry about that.
I would love to say Rachel Brosnahan. She's already won. I think, and this, you know, again, this could be anybody. I think Quinta Brunson is the one to beat for Abbott Elementary. This is a show that, this is a rare example of a network show that gets a lot of critical acclaim. She not only acts in it, she produces it. She is, she to me is like the modern day version of Mary Tyler Moore. She's terrific. She's likable. We relate to her. She's an underdog, and I think she is brilliant on the show. However, there is a possible spoiler with Natasha Lyonne, Poker Face, that's gotten a lot of attention. And just on a personal note, I don't predict she will win. But wouldn't it be wonderful to see Christina Applegate, you know, get the Emmy for Dead to Me? You know, that show hasn't been on in a while. It's been, you know, that came back earlier in the year. So I think a lot of people forgot about it. But so I'm going with Quinta Brunson. Who do you think?
To me, Mark, this is among the toughest categories of the night. You have five terrific performances and five terrific actresses. And I do agree with you. I think it'd be fantastic, Christina Applegate, who I have loved ever since Married with Children, and the show she did also for ABC, the comedy that ran a year and a half, if she won. Rachel Brosnahan has had a wonderful run in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Sorry, Prime Video, so it's Prime Video. Excuse me for that. And Natasha Lyonne, I think, was just marvelous. A very unique performance. She was like the Columbo of Peacock, that Peacock series. And Jenna Ortega was marvelous on Wednesday. And the same thing with Keita Brunson. I'm going to go on a limb with a different pick. I agree with you. I think Keita Brunson would be terrific if she won. And I also think it would one reason why she might win is because of what happened 2 years ago at the Emmys, where because of that stupid Will Arnett dragging Jimmy Kimmel on the stage of theater and then popping him down, and Keita Brunson wins for writing, and she, in a very classful way, stays you know straight while Kimmel stays lying on the floor. That may be one of the reasons why Keita might win. Sadly, she should win for Elementary, not for some dope like as to correct the faux pas, which never should have happened in the first place. Another example, by the way, of
someone who acted stupid. I want to tell you, I haven't thought about that, and you just reminded me. That was, in my opinion, one of the most obnoxious moments I've ever seen on any award show. And when that happened, I'm thinking, well, Jimmy Kimmel will get up and leave now. He did his comedy shtick that's not funny, and he just hogged the limelight and took it away from her. I have not even thought about that, but that was atrocious. So, yes. But so here's to Quinta Brunson, without a doubt, hopefully.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb because I think the show is on a roll. I think it could be Jenna Ortega for Wednesday. I thought her performance was sensational. She deadpanned beautifully, the character beautifully. She made it her own, you know, given the fact she had Lisa Loring, and then before, and then after that, you had Christina Ricci in the films. She just made it her own. It was a marvelous show. It's one of Netflix's biggest hits in a long, long while. She might, and the dance she did went viral. She might just pull it out. I'm going to go for Jenna Ortega with a little catch that it could be Keita Brunson. I agree with you, Keita Brunson. This could be her year.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Quinta. That's my pick. Hopefully she'll win.
Okay, and I think we both agree it would be great if either Christina Applegate or Natasha Lyonne won. Again, five great performances.
Without a doubt.
All right, so let's conclude with the comedy series category. And the nominees are, this is for the program, the nominees are Abbott Elementary on ABC, Barry on HBO, Jury Duty on Amazon Freebie, Only Murders in the Building on Hulu, Ted Lasso, Apple TV+, The Bear, FX, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Prime Video, and Wednesday on Netflix. How about that for a comedy category with nominations?
it's pretty chock full, and I think the surprise nominee, at least in my opinion, was Jury Duty. And I think, you know, there are some people that are predicting this could be a sleeper. It could be Jury Duty, but I have to go with, and, you know, I will say I have to go with The Bear, but I will say this. I have debated this with a number of people. In my personal opinion, The Bear is not a comedy. I consider it more of a drama. I don't consider it a comedy, but, you know, I mean, it's in the comedy category. One theory was the reason it's in the comedy category was because if it was a drama, it wouldn't beat Succession. But I don't believe that. I just have to go with my, you know, my personal taste here. It's my favorite show of the year. I was mesmerized for those 10 episodes. My only disappointment was there was only 10 episodes because when it was over, I'm like, it's already over. I want to see more of this. Everybody's worthy. Ted Lasso has already won. I didn't think Only Murders in the Building, however, had its best season. I think of the three seasons, this past one was the weakest, so I don't think that has a shot. I do appreciate Wednesday, but to me, it's got to be The Bear because simply it was just the best of the lot. Who do you think? Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark, The Bear reminds me a lot in its style and its the way it goes from Atlanta. I think the Donald Glover series. It reminds me because there are episodes, as you said, that are more drama than comedy, more comedy. It depends on what episode you watch. And that's what makes The Bear, I think, very unique. And, yes, I think it will win the best comedy. That's why I pick the best comedy series. In a very tough category, I think Jury Duty getting the nomination for Amazon Freevee was a great coup for them. Good for them because you could also put it in a reality category. But I think to get comedy was great. Yeah, wonderful for Ted Lasso to get in, wonderful for Wednesday to get in, wonderful for Abbott and Lunch to get in, Marvelous Maisel, final season. But I agree with you. I think The Bear is the most unique comedy in the bunch. It really is more dramedy or drama, as you said, and that's why I think it's going to win. So I think it's going to be a trifecta for The Bear in terms of being a program category. So that's our pick, Bear for this comedy series.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
All righty. In a moment, we're going to get into the drama category. In the meantime, let's hear from you. Give us a call. I want to get your picks for who you think is going to win the Primetime Emmys tonight. Hosted by Anthony Anderson, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on your local Fox station. And I'm sure it'll be running on Tubi later on after the live presentation. Mark Bremen, the editor-in-chief of the Chroming Insider, wonderful website, terrific daily email newsletter. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, and see how your predictions match up with Mark and yours truly. And remember, you can also catch me in person Wednesday mornings on Sports News Wire. That's the sports news information show on Sports Grid Network, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, on smart TV sets, devices, Amazon Freevee, local now, other multi-channel bundles. I'm sure we can talk about the Peacock situation. We'll also talk about some other sports news. So be sure to be with us. The Sports News Wire, that's Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on Sports News Wire. Okay, let us go to the drama categories. Let's start with the lead actor position. And the nominees for this category are Jeff Bridges for The Old Man on FX, Brian Cox for Succession, and Kieran Culkin for Succession on HBO, Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul on AMC, Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us on HBO, and Jeremy Strong for Succession. Three of the six nominations, Mark, for Succession, which, of course, had its last run on HBO earlier this year.
Well, I think because you have three actors from Succession sitting in this category, so, you know, you could say that they could cancel each other out. There has been a lot of buzz on Pedro Pascal in The Last of Us as a possible spoiler here. Jeff Bridges is certainly, you know, a Hollywood icon. And then there's Bob Odenkirk, who's been, you know, Better Call Saul is over. Do we give the Emmy to Bob Odenkirk? There's a very good possibility that he will get it. However, I'm going to pick, because right now I'm glued to Succession. The acting is just superior, but I think the standout, and he just took home two trophies, Critics' Choice and Golden Globe. I think it's going to be Kieran Culkin. I think he is going to take the Emmy for Succession. Who do you think?
Well, this is another one of my out-of-the-limb predictions. It's time for Bob Odenkirk to win. I think, and again, I think part of this is based on when these folks voted. Bob Odenkirk came off a wonderful last year of Better Call Saul. His performance from start to finish has been brilliant. You can easily place it alongside Bryan Cranston, what he did on Breaking Bad, as one of the best dramatic performances of recent years. And I hope the Academy is thinking it's time. He has been so close so often, along with Rhea Seehorn, by the way, who I believe also should have been best actress in a drama and wasn't. Bob Odenkirk all the way. I think this is the year for him. And I think this is a reward. I think they will have him win for the series, not just the season, the last season, the whole series. I agree with you, though. Kieran Culkin is a big favorite because of particularly the Golden Globe and last night, the Critics' Choice. I just think Bob Odenkirk, because of when these folks voted, I think he's going to finally get it. I think this is his finish line. So I'm going with Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, we will see for sure. All right, one more before we hit the halfway mark at the bottom of the hour. Lead actress for drama. And this one has, like lead actor, six nominees, and they are Sharon Horgan for Bad Sisters, Mel Linsky for Yellowjackets on Showtime, Liz Moss for The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, Bella Ramsey from The Last of Us on HBO, Kerry Russell for This Man on Netflix, and Sarah Snook, who has won the Critics' Choice and last night won at the Critics' Critics' Choice last night, Golden Globes the weekend before, for Succession.
I think this is an easy pick. I think she has so much momentum. The show has so much momentum. It ended on such a high note. I think it's got to be Sarah Snook. There are some people out there, I think, that are predicting Bella Ramsey could be an underdog here. But I've got to go with Sarah Snook. I think I think hands down she stands out in the category. What do you think?
Same thing. She's on a super roll, and she was marvelous in this final season of Succession. I think Mel Linsky is wonderful in Yellowjackets. Elizabeth Moss has always been terrific in The Handmaid's Tale. She's got one more season to go. And Bella, yes, she was terrific in The Last of Us. And by the way, we should point out that in the creative arts categories that were given out last weekend, Nick Offerman and I believe the person who was in that wonderful episode, the third episode, the gay episode, that featured the gay characters,
yeah,
deservedly got the guest actor win for Last of Us. And by the way, Last of Us is leading the Emmy count with eight awards so far, so it could be possible that Bella might win, but I'm going to go with Sarah. I think she has really done it in a great, great way, and I think this will be another way that the Academy rewards Succession for its final season and for its run overall on HBO. We're going to have more from Mark Berman in a moment. We're going to take a pause here for a message from our great sponsor Wild, and in our second half hour, we're going to get to the drama series category, the miniseries category, and we'll also get Mark's thoughts about the shows or series or specials or events he is looking forward to seeing on television the rest of 2024. And again, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Happy to have you with us on this Martin Luther King Jr. edition of the Promo About TV's Current and Future, 30 degrees near the bottom of the hour, and we'll have more of our program with Mark and yours truly, after we have this message from our wonderful sponsor, Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Well, I got a great idea for you. Give Wild a try. In case you haven't heard, it is a natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet at the same time. That's because Wild has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. I use it regularly. It's wonderful. It goes on great. No stickiness, no mess. Absolutely marvelous. And it comes in a variety of scent and color combinations like jasmine and mandarin blossom or fresh cotton and sea salt. There's no harsh chemicals to fret about. And if you want a refill, it gets delivered right to your door. Not only that, but you also get a case that you put the refills in one after the other after the other. It's easy to bring the Wild deodorant up to you, and it's just absolutely great. So here's my thought for the day, aside from any predictions. Go Wild today. If you do, you get a special discount, 25% off your first order when you use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. So go to wearewild.com, that's wearewild.com, and use the promo code SimonApple, number 4, at checkout. And I hope you will do it so you can enjoy Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. More with Mark Berman and yours truly with Emmy predictions and more after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com. Spreaker.com and Tune.com. Together, reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love country music and pop music, check out Live from Nashville, latest episode on BTR tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's Live from Nashville tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, Best BTR, always available 24/7 for you at YouTube. Welcome back to the second half of our special Primetime Emmy Awards Hour here on Swabby Televised, where we're live and lively for you from New York on Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2024. Tom and I bound with you along for the ride, joined by Mark Berman, the wonderful editor-in-chief of the Performing Popular website, The Performing Insider, also a great daily email newsletter that you should definitely try out. And Mark, back with you. Let's talk about the big drama series category. A lot of interesting nominees here. You got Andor on Disney Plus, Better Call Saul on AMC, House of Dragon on HBO, Succession on HBO, The Crown on Netflix, The Last of Us on HBO, The White Lotus on HBO, and Yellowjackets on Showtime. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I have to say deja vu. Succession, it's been racking up every award, or, you know, it's been winning this, that, and the other thing. It is so worthy. You know, it's interesting, Simon. You know, the concept behind Succession is nothing new. You know, we've seen this so many times in the history of television where there's a wealthy family running this huge company, and half of them are dysfunctional, if not all of them. But this is so well done. It's so well written. The production, the acting, the everything about it. Succession. Without a doubt, I think Succession will win. What about you?
Without a doubt, in my mind too, Mark. And again, I think this is one where the Academy voters will vote for the series for the whole run, not just for a great final season, which had a great final episode. It's a wonderful show. It is a show that some people might think it's elitist. It really isn't. It is a great drama series. It's one of the best dramas about media and how it works and the people that make media happen and how they work or don't work. It's got a sensational ensemble cast. I think it's really wonderful. I think The Crown may be a year ahead of getting the next Emmy Award. I think it will be the favorite for the next Emmy Awards this fall because that will have reached its final, because the final episodes just happened over the last month. So I think The Crown will have maybe its day this fall, the 76th Emmy Awards, along with perhaps House of Dragon and White Lotus if they get their third season off the ground. But right now, I think Succession all the way. Agree with you. It's the final call, and I think the Emmy Award winners, the Emmy Award judges will definitely say, hey, Succession, well done, you got it.
Agreed, without a doubt.
All righty. And if you have some primetime Emmy picks you want to get across to us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. Welcome those of you that just joined us at the bottom of the hour. Or get into our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. All right. Our final threesome is for... It's really more miniseries. It's not really made for TV movies. It's really because basically the majority of the actors and actresses are in the miniseries. They're not made for TV movies, which, by the way, I think should be overturned. It should be separate categories for made for TV movies, separate from acting, directing, writing for miniseries. There's no way you can judge performances in a made for TV movie that's 90 minutes or 2 hours versus a miniseries that is, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours, et cetera, in length. And I hope at some point they'll do it. Incidentally, when we talked to Maury McIntyre from the TV Academy last Friday, he sort of gave a sense that, yeah, the made-for-TV movie category, which is not on tonight, it was given to Roku's wonderful Weird, the Al Yankovic story. That will possibly be back in the Primetime Emmys next time around this fall. Okay, lead actor for miniseries. The nominees are Taron Egerton for Blackbird on Apple TV+. Kumail Nanjiani for Welcome to Chippendale. I believe that's Hulu. Evan Peters for Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. That's the Ryan Murphy miniseries anthology show on Netflix. Daniel Radcliffe, the only made-for-TV movie person in the category for Weird, the Al Yankovic story. Michael Sharman for George and Tammy on Showtime. And Steven Yeun for Beef on Netflix. Your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, I think Beef is riding a wave, and I think it's Steven Yeun is the one to beat in this category. I think there could be a possible spoiler. It could be Evan Peters. You know, he generated a lot of interest for Dahmer, But I've got to go with Stephen Ewan, just based on that juggernaut, that speeding train of awards that it seems to be winning in everything in this category. He's my pick.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mark, this is why we have to have separate categories for acting, writing, directing, et cetera, between movies and the nature of what I just stated. Because if you had a separate category for made-for-TV movies, Daniel Radcliffe would win in a heartbeat. It was a wonderful mm-hmm. performance playing Al Yankovic. And it was one of the best performances, by the way, anybody, anywhere, all this past season. Nevertheless, so that's why I think he's not going to win, although he deserves to. He's going to have to be settled, unfortunately, with the category. And kudos to Roku. This is the first time that a smart TV set or device commissioned a made-for-TV movie to win in that category. So kudos to Roku for that. I totally agree with you, Mark. It's Stephen Yeun's year. Beef was amazing. It is just a juggernaut, and I think he's going to win and win going away. Lead actress in a miniseries. The nominees are Lizzie Caplan for Fleischman is in Trouble on FX, Jessica Chastain, George and Tammy on Showtime, Dominic Fishback for Swarm, Catherine Hahn for Tiny Beautiful Things on HBO, Riley Keough for Daisy Jones and the Six on Prime Video, and Ali Wong for Thief.
Well, you know, earlier I said that Jeremy Allen White was the easiest one to pick. Well, I think this is equally easy to pick. Ali Wong, it's a juggernaut. It's winning everything. I truly believe she was, and there's a lot of talent in this category as well, but she was the standout easily. It's Ali Wong. And your pick?
Same thing, Ali Wong. I do have to say this, though. I think Riley Keough is some actress. I think her performance really elevated Daisy Jones and the Six. I should point out, point of disclosure, we had the executive producers on last year. It's been one of the great success stories for Prime Video, is Daisy Jones and the Six. And we may get a sequel miniseries to it, incidentally, if not this year, maybe 2025. And there's also talk that Riley may join the other cast members in a national tour of the group around the country. Love this miniseries a lot. I thought Riley's performance was great. Maybe in any other year she would have won. I also thought Jessica Chastain was wonderful as Tammy Wynette in that Showtime miniseries, which incidentally was supposed to be on Spectrum Video On Demand, and Showtime picked it up when Spectrum decided to give it away to somebody else. I think she was worthy of it. Lizzie Caplan was worthy of it for Fleischman's in Trouble. Very, very strong category. And I also think Dominic Fishback's performance in Swarm, which was a very underrated series that sort of got some attention late in the season, is a worthy entry. Anyone thinks that should not have been there, it should have been in there. But I go with you, Mark, Ali Wong all the way for best actress in the miniseries for lead actress for Beat.
Yes, without a doubt.
All right, here's our final category that we're going to focus on, and that is best miniseries. And the nominees are Beat on Netflix, Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story on Netflix, Fleischman's in Trouble on FX, Daisy Jones and the Six on Prime Video, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's the Star Wars miniseries on Disney Plus. All right, here's your last chance of the prediction, Mark. Go for it.
Well, this is not going to be a surprise. Beef. It's going to be Beef. It's everything about it. Again, this is another easy category to pick. It's got to be Beef. I'd be shocked if it wasn't. And you?
Well, first of all, talk more about Beef. Why has this miniseries really come on strong in the awards this year? What about Beef? What about its pace or its feel, its atmosphere that really has grabbed people?
You know, it's just... The theme behind this was road rage between two strangers. You know, typical example, well, not a typical example, but it's an example of why Netflix really is known for its quality programming. The acting, the production, the storytelling, it's something that you can see on a streaming service that you just don't see on a broadcast network, it really is just, it's two strangers. It's road rage. And then it just, all these things start happening in their lives. And it's just nonstop drama. And everything about it is so high caliber. And it's just something that, you know, I'm sorry to say, you just don't see it on a broadcast network like you would see it on an outlet like Netflix or an HBO perhaps or whatever. It just, you know, I mean, what do you think about it? Why do you think it stands out?
It is so beautifully paced, and it is just, it kicks you on the edge of the seat. Because of the performances, because of the pacing, because of the sheer, you know, force of how the plot goes. And it just keeps on building and building and building and building, and you don't know where it's going. In many ways, it reminds me of Duel, the Steven Spielberg movie that was an ABC movie of the week, beautifully written by Richard Matheson, beautifully done. It has that kind of feel to it, this kind of you're on the road with these people. And you don't know how this is going to go. And there's, like, the back of your mind, this rage that is building and building and building and building. And rather than this being a case of a man versus vehicle, which Duel was, and so beautifully, this is a case of two people who are so intertwined with each other, with road rage, that just, like, boils and boils. And it's like, you know, the kettle about to boil or a volcano about to explode. That's the kind of feel that Beef has. And by the way, there may be a possibility of a second season. They may make this into an Netflix may turn this into an anthology series with, like, a different type of plot, but along the same kind of style. And I totally agree with you. I think Beef is marvelous. I think it's my pick to win. I do think that Daisy Jones the Six was a marvelous miniseries for Amazon Prime Video. That may go into a second season also. Obi-Wan Kenobi, how it got in, don't know. But I thought John Williams' theme music was great. And and some of the things were okay. There were better Disney Plus Star Wars shows on. I thought Ahsoka was better. I thought Andor was certainly better. I'm happy it got all the nominations it did. We end on a united note. Beef.
Yes, without a doubt. Now, you know what? I will say one more thing about Beef. You know what it did that I really liked? When you watch a story like this, and it's dramatic, and it's fast-paced, and it's this and that, it also has some humor in it. There was some dark humor in it that, you know, you had to look for it, but it was there, you know, to kind of lighten the load a little bit. But it just worked. And, there'll be a lot of trips to the podium tonight for it.
Yeah. Before we leave the Primetime Emmys and get into what you would love to see the rest of this year, is there someone else that you would like to see win tonight?
Oh, let me think. Who else would I like to see win tonight that we haven't already said? Let me think about this. You know, it's not like who I want to see win. There were some absences on the ballot that really kind of upset me. I would have liked to see. You know who I really think is overlooked? On Abbott Elementary, which I'm a big fan of, I think Lisa Ann Walter, I would have liked to see her get a nomination. She didn't want. I think, you know who I'd love? Actually, I have an answer. I have a good answer for you. You know who I'd like to see win this? One of the standouts on Succession that I don't think will win tonight, but I think really should. I think Nicholas Braun should win the Emmy for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. I think it's going to go to Matthew McFadden, but I think it should be Nicholas Braun. I think he just brought something so unique to Succession that we haven't already seen. And then one other person I would love to see win, and I think she might. I want to see Elizabeth Debicki win for The Crown. She nailed her portrayal of Princess Diana to a T. I mean, Jennifer Coolidge has already won. You know, she's already been up there giving her speech. She's won every possible award for The White Lotus. I'd like to see Elizabeth Debicki. When I watched The Crown, I was like, I'm looking at Princess Diana. It was flawless. It was flawless. What about you? Who would you like to see win?
I agree. And by the way, she won the Critics' Choice last night, Elizabeth Debicki for The Crown.
Yeah.
I thought she did nail Diana very, very well. And I would love to see Rhea Seehorn win. I believe she is up for Best Supporting Actress. I would love to see her win. A lot of people are pulling for her tonight because she's been so close to winning for Better Call Saul. And a lot of people think she should be in the best actress category, not supporting actress, actress. And that may be a problem. But I would love to see Rhea Seehorn come through. That would be great. But Elizabeth Debicki, and if Debicki wins, that would be fantastic. And in terms of somebody, is there somebody who you would like not to see win?
I hate to say it. I don't want to see Jennifer Coolidge win again tonight. She's already won. I don't feel like sitting through a kooky 10-minute speech. I love her to death. Don't get me wrong. I love her to death. So I kind of hope that she doesn't win. We've already seen it before. She's gotten, like I said, every possible award. I just don't want to, I want somebody else to get it. You know, I'd rather it wasn't her. You know, what about you?
John Oliver for Last Week Tonight. I'd like to see that show not win because I was very angry with the Law and Order episode, which I thought was the worst, with the low point of that series. For them to make a national controversy out of a scripted show and an iconic franchise and to do it in the way they did it was disgusting. They took old quotes of Dick Wolf. They didn't look – it was very clear the researchers did not review the show. They did not know what the show was all about. That's by Law and Order and Law and SVU. They sort of tried, well, SVU, it has helped, you know, victims of sexual assault become more open and speak up and that kind of thing. And I just thought Oliver and his team just did a terrible job with that episode. It should never have gone on the air. You don't jam a scripted show. They were trying to make a point, well, Law and Order is better for the police and that kind of thing. And what they didn't know was that if you watch episodes of Law and Order and Law and Order SVU, the cops don't win all the time. The lawyers don't win all the time. And sometimes when they do, there's consequences. And there's episode after episode, they could have pointed to that. And I just thought it blew off their argument, sky high. So I hope John does not win. If a Black Lady Sketch Show is up, I hope that wins because I think they did a marvelous job.
Well, you know what? I also lost track how many times John Oliver has won. You know, that's one of the issues I have with the Emmys. You know, it goes back to the days of Murphy Brown with Candace Bergen. I remember as a viewer thinking, she's already won 5 times. It's enough already. Let somebody else win. You know, I feel like it's won so many times. I feel like there's other worthy candidates to win. So I kind of agree with you on that. I actually do agree on that. Didn't think about that. But, yeah, John Oliver. Yep.
Come on, John. You know, time for you to, as Philip Bond's character in Kung Fu used to say, time for you to leave and make better episodes. The time we have left, Mark, let's focus on the rest of this year. We're our third week of 2024, and I invite you to come up with three or four suggestions of what shows or what series or what programs or events. What are you looking forward to watching this year? So you get the first pick. What's your first pick of what you're looking forward to watching on television this year?
Well, I've got to go with, you know, it's been a few years now, but I believe it came back. It started it was dropped yesterday. But True Detective. I think the subtitle is True Detective Night County. I think it's got a great cast. I think it's got a great cast, good acting. I've been a fan of it in the past. You know, I like these kind of anthology crime solvers. I mean, I am currently a very entrenched in Fargo on FX, and I kind of look at True Detective as the same kind of a formula. You know, it's an anthology, crime-related. You don't see it every year. It pops up whenever it pops up. I'm excited about the cast. I'm very excited about True Detective. You know what show in particular that I'm interested in? I'm a fan of Sofia Vergara. We saw her for 12 seasons on Modern Family, you know, doing comedy. We see her on America's Got Talent as a judge. I'm really excited about this this show, this Griselda that she's doing for Netflix. About a Colombian woman. I think the name is Grisela Blanco. I'm curious to see her in drama. I think she's got the chops, and I'm excited to see that. I have to include Curb Your Enthusiasm for the final season. You know, this is a show, you know what, in the history of television, Simon, I think you'll agree. I don't think anyone ever had a carte blanche opportunity like he did. I mean, basically, he could do the show whenever he wants. You know, it's always renewed. But finally, I guess, Larry David said he didn't want to do it anymore. And the one entry I'll mention about a broadcast network, because I feel like we always forget about the broadcast networks. We don't, you know, it's not like the old days of the fall where I'd be, oh, my God, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. But I'm curious to see Tracker with Justin Hartley from This Is Us. CBS is going to premiere it after the Super Bowl, which means it'll get sampled. That doesn't mean it's going to be a hit. But I'm curious to see that. You know, there's a lot of stuff coming up. There's no shortage of content, which is the good news. And I think of anything, if I had to pick one out of anything else, I'm really excited about Griselda. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but that's the show that I'm curious about. What about you?
Well, by the way, it's true. Detective Night Country, and incidentally, it's gotten off to great reviews for its premiere last night. And I think the person that is co-starring with Jodie Foster is going to be a star. Incidentally, I also think Echo, the new Disney Plus, may be one of the best Marvel shows in a long time. I hope it gets a second season, and I think the woman who plays it, who's deaf, a Native American, may be up for an Emmy this fall. Well, my first one is, and I think you'll enjoy for this broadcast, the start of the 25th season of Law & Order Special Victims Unit on Thursday night on NBC. Who would have thought that a spinoff of an iconic show would end up being the longest running, in terms of seasons, the longest running drama series in the history of television. And looking forward to seeing how they treat the 25th year, especially given the short lead time because of the writers and actors strike settlement. The 500th episode is also going to be running this season. And I'm very curious whether this might be the last year of Miska Hargitay as star, whether she will say, okay, it's my time to let SVU be run by somebody else, and I will stay behind the scenes as an executive producer and director. I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens with that. So that's one. Number two, Shogun on FX, the new adaptation of one of the great miniseries ever. That'll be on February. I saw the trailer and the Disney upfront last spring. They also had that battle scene, which I don't know if they should have done it live in person. It was a little crazy. However, if the scenes that they showed last spring are any prelude, this could be even better than the original miniseries. They have a very unique cast, a lot of unknowns. This could be a front runner for best miniseries this fall for the Emmys if it comes off. So that's my second one. My third is The Three-Body Problem. It's the new series from the creators of Game of Thrones on Netflix. It's running in late March. The books that it comes from, the three novels, very, very mind-bending science fiction. It'll be interesting to see if the Game of Thrones creators, Weiss and Benioff, can pull this off. If they can, Netflix may have a superb franchise, a new franchise, and maybe, like House of the Dragon, like The Last of Us, could be an Emmy contender. We'll see on that. And finally, the Paris Olympic Games on Peacock and NBC, live from Paris. I think that NBC Universal has got to finally make Peacock the way you watch the Olympics, NBC with the highlights, and they've got to find a way to get the marketing, the promotion, and the public relations act together. This may be their last shot because viewership of the Olympics on NBC has gone down. Same thing with USA, CNBC. They have to rev it up. Molly Solomon, the executive producer, is going to do her usually fantastic job. She did it in 2022 with the Winter Games. She did it in 2020 again, on crazy circumstances, coronavirus in the case of the Summer Olympic Games. Then 2022, China having to pull everybody out and do the Olympics basically from Stamford, Connecticut. I think Paris has got the opportunity to have an incredible Olympic Games. However, again, I think Peacock is a great opportunity to become the way to watch the Olympics, live, tape, do it the way you want, call up stats, be interactive, shop items, talk to the athletes interactively. This is a great opportunity, and it cannot just be on Molly Solomon's coattails. You've got to get the marketing, the PR, and so forth, and you have to promote the athletes, and you have to get the rest of sports media to cover these games. Because one of the problems is that nobody else cares in sports media about the Olympics. It has become last of the totem pole, and that's a shame, because there's wonderful athletes all over the world that deserve to be seen by a wide audience. No, we're not going to ever have the one network covers the Olympics, 40, 50 million people watch every night, and everybody else plays dead. That's never going to happen again. However, I think there's an opportunity to boost the viewership and really make Peacock the way to go. What do you think on that?
I don't disagree. I think that you make a very valid point here. You know, look, Peacock has been in search of something that's really going to work for them to put them on the map, you know? And I think this could be a very good thing for them, you know? You know, it's interesting also. I think we're going into a period where we're going to start seeing some shifts in the streaming services. I think there's going to start being, you know, people predict this one's going to end, this one's going to this. I don't think Peacock's going anywhere, but it needs to grasp onto something that it could say this is, you know, and I think that could be it. But I will say one other show that I've mentioned, and it's a network show that never gets any attention. I'm a fan of The Conners. You know, I remember way back when, you know, Roseanne was fired and they canceled it. And I was out there screaming, do it without her, do it without her. And I think it's been kind of spotty the last five seasons, or however many seasons it's been. But I think more often than not, it's been good, and it could be the last season. And I'm still invested in that family, in that TV family, so I'll be watching that as well. And it's very strange to see the repeats on the CW, by the way. That's really weird. And I'll say one final thing, because I know we're towards at the end here. This is a big day in history, Simon. A big day in TV history. You know what it is? You know what it is?
What?
Happy Days. 50 years old.
Ooh,
today.
50th anniversary.
50th anniversary. Happy Days with Henry Winkler, Ron Howard, and the rest. Premiered on this day in 1974. I remember sitting at my TV set, just like it was yesterday. It was 50 years ago. And the next sitcom that's going to hit 50 in February is Good Times. So I'm feeling kind of old today. Crazy.
Anyway, Primetime Emmy Awards tonight, hosted by Anthony Anderson on Fox, your local Fox station, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live to all time zones. For more details about the program online, go to fox.com, emmys.com, and televisionacademy.com. And if you want to catch what Mark does every day with the Programming Insider, his newsletter, which is available by email, and also on his website, it's programminginsider.com. Catch it, you won't be disappointed. And by the way, I'll tell you what, one final thing before we go. I'll tell you what, we're supposed to do our classic trivia answer. We're going to keep the question going. We'll give you the classic trivia question. We'll keep it going one more day or two, and then we'll have the answer if we don't get a winner on our next show on Wednesday. Mark, thank you very much for a great, great hour. It's always a pleasure. Have a great time watching the Emmys, and have a great year watching TV in 2024.
You too, Simon. Take care.
You too. All the greatest. You and family. Mark Berman with the Programming Insider joining me here in New York. On Wednesday, Rob Lewis from Roxy, and we will have the answer to our classic trivia question, so our contest is still in play. Thank you for tuning us in. Thanks again to Mark for being on. Catch the Emmy Awards. Catch me on not only on Wednesday, but also on this program, but also on Sports News Wire, Lemonade News, AM Pacific, and Sports Grid Network. The views expressed are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Annie Toe is B-Charge General Manager. Dave Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Swami Televised was brought to you limited commercial interruption today by Wild, the reusable, refillable natural donut that's on your body and the planet. With Swami Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Enjoy the Emmy Awards tonight. Be back with us on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, speakers in the radio, and all of our podcasts and web affiliates. Whatever you're doing now and then, make it safe. Make it great. If you're in Iowa for the Iowa caucus, please bundle up and do your thing. And, of course, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.